What's up, everybody? On this episode of Coffee with Corey, we'll be taking a slightly different approach and looking at the positives for NC State coming out of the lopsided 34-8 loss to Virginia. There were five players that you can highlight, a couple on defense, a couple on offense, and even one on special teams that we made as an honorable mention. Probably could have made two, but we stuck to one. So please take your time to listen to this episode of Coffee with Corey. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Chumba Casino, America's number one online social casino. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Explore hundreds of social games, including top-tier slots, jackpot games, and table classics with new games launching regularly. At home, on your lunch break, or relaxing on the couch, world-class entertainment is just a tap away. Score free daily login bonuses and kick things off with a free welcome bonus. Sign up today and discover why over 1 million players choose Chumba Casino to play for non-stop fun. Your next fun moment starts now at Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Corey. I'm your host, Corey Smith, here to discuss some NC State football on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Running a little behind today, but that's been the norm here lately. It's busy mornings, busy nights, and trying to find time to fit these in. But plenty to talk about this week. I know we've harped on a lot of the negatives, and obviously there are quite a few of them. So I wanted to try to spend this episode doing something a little different, talking about some positives, some players individually. Now, I don't know that there was a whole lot of overall positives in any area on any specific position group or any area for NC State that they really excelled in this game. It was a 34-8 loss after all, but did want to focus on some positives from this past weekend that you can kind of take away from this past weekend and moving forward for NC State. All right, before we jump into that, though, I do want to give a quick shout-out to the Packhouse Coffee Company, if I could actually turn it the right way. They are a sponsor with us, and we appreciate them for jumping on. Again, owned by two NC State graduates over in the Lewisburg, Youngsville, and Franklinton areas. So if you haven't checked them out, make sure that you do. I'm drinking the Hannah today. It's actually a marshmallow and caramel iced latte, so it's delicious. I appreciate them for jumping on again. And do make sure that you check them out. Again, they support us. We want to make sure that you support them as well and give them a look. Try them out if you're in the area as well. If you're around this area, go ahead and check them out. You probably know them at this point because it's delicious and it's really nice in this area to have that. So do make sure that you check them out, the Packhouse Coffee Company. All right, let's jump straight into things. I wanted to go through a list of, I initially had five players, but I do want to throw a sixth in there as an honorable mention here. Players that stood out from Saturday that, again, you know, positives moving forward. You hope that other key players like a CJ Baylor, like a Duke Scott, like, you know, a cornerback or somebody along those lines, Brian Nelson is on this list in the near future. But a lot of the guys that you need to be the elite players for you just were not on Saturday. So we'll point out the players that did step up in their stead and actually looked good. Number one, I do want to point out Jackson Waller, a guy that was very busy on Saturday. If you didn't know his name going in, you know it now. NC State's punter, an Arkansas State transfer. He was extremely busy on Saturday. Seven punts, but still finished with an average of 46.7 yards. Almost 60 yards on one of his punts, went for 58 yards. He landed three of those inside of the 20-yard line, and then three of his punts also went for more than 50 yards. So, I mean, he did everything you could ask for. Like, if you're looking for a guy that's going to be able to step up for you on special teams, that's somebody that certainly helps to flip the field for you. I know some people were concerned about special teams coming into the season and, you know, what is it going to look like, things along those lines. Yes, Jackson Waller, as Joko Wolf said, at least we know he can punt. Yes, we found that out very clearly on Saturday. Jackson Waller looks like he's going to be just as good as several of NC State's punters they've had in the past. Obviously, you miss Caden Nunkester, not only the punting, but the energy that he brought on special teams too. But yes, he's a guy that I feel like is going to help NC State, especially when those situations actually arise and you really need it, because on Saturday early on, he was helping you out a lot. And then late, it was just more of a, oh man, Jackson Waller's got to go punt again. This stinks. So you're hoping that continues to be a trend, that he's good in those spots moving forward as well. Next guy on this list is one of the more obvious ones, Popo Aguirre. Yes, I know he had the blown coverage on the one long touchdown. I get it. But at the same time, that's one blown play compared to all of the other plays that he did, that he had, that I felt like he played really well in this game. 18 tackles. It ties Peyton Wilson, Stephen Tolick, and one other player that I cannot remember their name, for the most NC State history in a single game. Also, the most in an NC State debut with 18 tackles. So those are huge numbers for him. The biggest thing about him, like, I'm looking up and down the sheet, obviously, you know, nobody was great when it came to run blocking or when it came to, you know, the rush defense or anything along those lines. And then, you know, the coverage rating for him was blown up by that one play. So it certainly doesn't help when you're looking at the PFF numbers. But his tackling ability was on full display. Again, 18 tackles. He had to clean up a lot. You think back to, you know, obviously I'm not trying to compare him here, and I'm not saying he will be him, but like, you think back to Peyton Wilson several years ago, he would finish with a ton of tackles, and we look back and be like, oh, well, he's, you know, not really getting behind the line of scrimmage. But he was cleaning up a lot of mistakes for other people. And Popo Aguirre, if you watch the film on Saturday, he was doing that for NC State. He was also at the line of scrimmage, got several tackles there, but he was all over the field for NC State. We were worried about the speed, and, you know, maybe it's not quite there for him fully, but it's something that NC State, it certainly helped to have him instinctually on Saturday, somewhere he added, you know, again, I know a lot of people are going to look at the post-game comments and say he didn't know what he was talking about. Well, I think there was a disconnect between the coaching staff and the game plan that went into Saturday, and I don't think that was as much on Popo Aguirre as it is anything else. But just got to give some recognition to Popo again. Big game for him. I'd like to see, you know, him be able to get into the backfield a little bit more, just because of the fact that, you know, playing that middle linebacker spot, there wasn't a whole lot of pass rush for NC State the other day. So maybe, you know, on some more of these exotic blitzes, they send him as well. But he played his position to a T on Saturday, with the exception of, again, that one blown coverage. And I know that's a bad look, but, you know, there's a lot of other guys that did a lot worse on Saturday for NC State's defense. The other guy I want to point out here too is Ronnie Royal. A big game for him. Oh, one other thing I want to point out too, that Popo Aguirre led NC State in stops. So hits at or behind the line of scrimmage on Saturday. Most of them were at the line of scrimmage. They weren't behind, but he finished with five stops on Saturday. So that ended up leading NC State as well. So that's another stat to know for him. As far as the rest of the defense, another guy I want to point out here, I mentioned him, Ronnie Royal III, a guy that came into the season, you know, last year really lacked in coverage. And I think that was one of the big areas for him. Still got to work on that area, but we saw how good of a form tackler he can be. You saw that on Saturday. Actually finished by PFF with the second highest grade for NC State, behind only King Mack. But the effort that he gave you, and I mentioned this with Popo Aguirre, but like, there was a lot of guys that seemingly lacked effort, didn't really know exactly what they were doing on Saturday. And that led to a lot of, you know, a lot of broken plays for NC State, a lot of opportunities for Virginia to be able to beat them just with your legs, or being able to dump it off, or, you know, short passes, or, you know, beating them over the top for long passes. Like, it was several different breakdowns for NC State in this game. But you didn't see any from Ronnie Royal in this game. He also had the one big play early on that, you know, if NC State was able to generate any momentum on the offensive side of the football, that was probably a shining spot. You know, Josh Warren also with a big hit behind the line of scrimmage. That hit on one of the receivers for Virginia, Ronnie Royal just absolutely separating the receiver from the ball. That was a moment where it's like, oh man, like if NC State's offense can get out here and do something, that might have been the momentum shift in this game. It wasn't, because the NC State offense never really took off, but it was a big moment for him, and one that, again, when he committed to NC State, I said He reminds me a lot, if you watch him on film, of Tanner Engel, of Earl Wolf, like that type of hitter. That was a moment. We saw it a couple times last year, but that on that stage in that moment, there's a reason why he's wearing the safer helmet. I think it's because of the fact that he knows he's going to be hitting dudes a lot like that, and you want to decrease the risk of injury as much as possible. And he also had an 83.8 tackling grade. I mentioned it being the second highest. Just want to give you the number there. That's as close to elite as you can get. It's really close. But again, that's a number to know for him coming out of this one. Lastly, on the defensive side of the football, not a whole lot on the offense, so we'll stick to the defense here again. But Kevon Carter, somebody that was not talked about this offseason nearly as much as some others. You know, if you talked about the linebackers, we were talking about Dakari Nelson as a backup. We were talking about Ziggy Moore as a backup. And Kevon Carter, yes, he plays, you know, a little bit more of the edge position, but he's able to play some versatile different roles for NC State. He proved that there's a reason why he should be discussed a little bit more in this scheme. He was a backup edge on Saturday behind, ahead of Sterling Dixon, behind Harvey Dyson. And it really felt like when he came on, he was a lot better when it came to stopping the run. And that was something that kind of shined. Him and Harvey Dyson actually split the lone sack that NC State had in this game. But again, if I'm looking back at like guys that can step up and play bigger roles, he played 34 total snaps on Saturday, finished with a 79.6 tackling grade, just a very good disciplined player, ended up with the one pressure, which was on that sack. And again, you know, it didn't have big stats or anything along those lines, but of the four tackles he had, all four of them were stops. So they were added behind the line of scrimmage. That's all you can ask for from your edge. That's a guy that you want to be able to get into the backfield. He did the right things there and ended up coming away with some big numbers in return. So again, that's somebody that you could watch for that could end up kind of moving up into a bigger role for NC State. Right now, he's in that rotation. I wouldn't be surprised to see him pushing for more snaps in the near future too. A guy that has an opportunity there to kind of step up in that role as well. Another one, moving over to the offensive side of the football, we're going to go with Mr. Spike Soles. He was a guy that coming into the season, I think a lot of people were hoping to see step up in that role. He was recruited as a true center, the highest offensive lineman in terms of recruit rankings by 24/7 Sports that NC State has ever landed under Dave Doran. So there were some high expectations of him. Going into last year, it was, all right, at what point is he going to step into that center role? And instead, he moved over to the guard role because that's what NC State needed. That's how much of a team player he is, a position he's never played or played in a very limited role, and he was able to step in at the guard spot and show out for NC State last season. Now moving over to his more natural center position, you watch. Go back and watch. I mean, I'll give you the PFF numbers here in just a second, but if you just go back and watch the film on what he did on a down-by-down basis, the way he snapped the ball and just immediately dropped back, getting into pass coverage on several of those plays. And he still has some work to do when it comes to run coverage or when it comes to run blocking throughout the year, and, you know, 61.3 grade there, but an 83.9 grade in the pass blocking area. That was the best on NC State's roster. And again, he's not, you know, constantly facing the most difficult pass rusher or anything along those lines. But when you've got big bodies on the other side, when you've got 24 and 25-year-olds on the other side that you're having to compete with, and he's 19 years old, and he's, you know, still not fully developed into what it will take for him to get to the NFL roster in a couple of years, like for him to be able to hold his own in that situation against guys that are much more experienced than him and in a spot where, you know, again, he's being asked to, you know, snap the ball, immediately take that step back and take on full on pass coverage. So again, for him to be able to step up into that role, be that guy, I mentioned the numbers beforehand, 83.9 is what he had in the pass blocking, 61.3 in run blocking. But again, you know, only 20 run blocking snaps for him because most of it was needing to stop and allow for CJ Bailey to be able to get opportunities in the backfield and be able to get the ball out of his hands. It didn't happen nearly as much as it probably should have, but a lot of plays that started as pass coverage or pass blocking ended up leading to some rushing plays as well for CJ Bailey. So again, just a huge shout out to Spike Soles stepping up in that role. doing what he did on Saturday. And the last one that I want to point out here too, Vander Ploeg, a guy that, you know, surprisingly, you know, was a little under the radar. We did a story on him. We've done some coverage of him throughout the offseason. And obviously coming in, there was high expectations for him. He was a guy that was a former four-star player, former, you know, top 150 or top 247 player in his class. Didn't get a lot of playing, didn't get any playing time, redshirted last year, actually, with Oregon, coming over to NC State. Sounded like he had a really good start to fall camp before suffering an injury. So it seemed like, you know, Preston Douglas and Hunter Providence were going to start over him and play over him. And they did initially. But when Vander Ploeg got on the field, all he did was just make some acrobatic catches, and it ended up helping NC State in a big way. And also, you know, the pass blocking or the run blocking wasn't terrible. Like, you know, it's funny because you actually had Preston Douglas actually miss a pass block completely and essentially pass it off. And I'm looking at the pass blocking grades here. He finished with a 64.5, talking about Preston Douglas. Hunter Providence, 36.4 in pass blocking, 49.1 in run blocking. So you put him out there expecting to be that guy. And Vander Ploeg, now mind you, he probably faced some of the second team, some of the guys that weren't as hungry to get after the quarterback by the end of the game. But, you know, he held his own when it came to blocking, you know, along the tight end position. But big thing that impressed me was the one big flash play that got NC State down to the 1 yard line for the one touchdown that they ended up getting. Really, you know, it bailed out CJ Bailey after a terrible play, taking that sack on a drop back where he should have been able to get Keenan Jackson wide open across the center of the field or across out to the corner. So also had a guy open across the center of the field on that exact same play. So you had two options there. He takes a sack instead. So there's a lot of players, again, obviously, as we're talking about throughout the week, that have a lot that they need to do to step up. But there was a few players that stepped, you know, that showed they can step up in these roles. They can be guys that can potentially be leaned upon. And Vander Ploeg was one of those guys, actually finished with the second highest receiving grade for NC State. DeAndre Desenor actually finished with the highest. And part of that was because he caught he only made two catches for 4 yards. But one of those was for, you know, the 2-point conversion. So that certainly helps him there when it comes to receiving grade. But again, Vander Ploeg was in on, you know, seven different passing plays and ended up, you know, in the slot on two of those. And then again, you know, yards after catch, 8 yards after the catch. So those things all certainly help him. But 25 yards, surprisingly enough, led NC State in receiving yards on Saturday. And he only played in 8 snaps. So we'll probably see a little bit of an increased role as he's, you know, continuing to get healthier and continuing to be a guy that can step up and show some flashes. I think that's what you're looking for right now, is he's probably the more athletic option, probably the guy that's the better receiver overall in some of these plays. Maybe Preston Douglas proves to be more consistent in those situations, but you've got a guy that's 6'6" and has the size that he does. It's going to be hard to keep him out of some of those red zone situations. There weren't nearly enough for NC State on Saturday, but if they get more, he could end up being a guy. So my five guys outside of Jackson Waller that I mentioned earlier as well, Popo Aguirre, Ronnie Royal, Kevon Carter, all on the defensive side of the football, Spike Soles, and Vander Ploeg, all guys that really stood out to me on Saturday. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about some, you know, higher end expectations, guys like a CJ Bailey, like a Duke Scott, like a, you know, I also thought Jamari McCrimmon played extremely well before his injury. So they really need to get him back into the fold. But you know, those are all guys that still need to step up and get better for this offense to really be able to take off. And the defense, obviously, you know, it's got to get a lot better when it comes to run stopping, and it's got to get a lot better when it comes to pass rush still to this point. So we'll talk about much more. We'll also have Michael Clark on the Coffee with Corey podcast tomorrow to discuss a little bit more when it comes to what NC State did wrong on Saturday, but also where it can improve moving forward. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you again to the Packhouse Coffee Company for sponsoring us, and we will talk to you guys again soon.